Good evening, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in. This is a live edition of Weekend Showcase for the week ending Sunday, March 6, 2022. We're doing weird news tonight. Thanks so much for tuning in. My name is Don, and we're also expecting Raina later tonight, actually very shortly. She should be joining us by the time I basically get done with this intro and like getting too far into the first topic anyway. So we'll go ahead and bring her in at that point. For now, once again, thank you so much at home for tuning in and making a little time with this channel as you close out your weekend. Hope everything's going well. And if you haven't already, don't forget to smash that like and subscribe button down below and follow us on basically anywhere on social media at Weekend Showcase. And don't forget, you can also submit ideas for weird news topics that we can cover and talk about during our Sunday streams. But remember, they can't be religious and they can't be political. We have to be very careful not to kind of like go into those kinds of territories here. We're trying to like be a little bit more cautious than that these days, especially these days, if I'm being brutally honest. But in any event, that's basically it. And right now, I'm still on my home screen here. Let me try and get through this right quick. I wanted to go ahead and get started with weird news. We're doing weird news tonight for our Sunday stream, as we usually do. This is our first weird news stream, our first major weird news stream for 2022. So let's go ahead and get started without any further ado. First item on the agenda, apparently, is a story from UPI. Canadian couple's dog gives birth to rare green puppy. A Nova Scotia couple whose three-year-old bulldog gave birth to a litter of eight puppies said they immediately noticed something unusual about one of the newborns. Her fur was dyed green. Okay, let's go ahead and examine that a little bit closer. Ah, thank goodness, here's a video. All right, let's take a look.
Trevor Mosier and his wife Audra thought their three-year-old Valley Bulldog Freya was done birthing her litter of puppies. The ultrasound revealed there were seven in the litter. The couple began cleaning Freya, thinking she was done giving birth, when suddenly another dog was born. This one looking much different than the rest. The puppy was enclosed in a black sack. They assumed the puppy was stillborn.
We started to dry her off and noticed that she was green, and immediately again thought there was something wrong. So we Googled it. It's like, my puppy's green, what's wrong? And apparently it's very rare, and it happened a few times all over the world.
The rare discoloration is thought to happen when light-colored puppies come in contact with a green pigment found in bile.
I'm kind of amazed, really. Like, as rare as it seems to be, I feel very lucky to have witnessed it and be a part of it. I know you hear stories about things like that, but to actually be there and witness it.
Since her birth, the green pigment has faded day by day and will continue to do so until she is older. Mosier says many friends and family have been recommending names for the three-week-old unnamed puppy.
A lot of people came up with some pretty clever answers. There were a few of them were Wasabi, Fiona, Hawkett, and Pistachio. I kind of like that one. That was pretty cute.
Amber Friday, Global News, Middle Sackville.
Yeah. Hawkett, that's kind of a bit much. That's a clear reference to the Hulk dogs from the 2003 Incredible Hulk movie. That was kind of a big deal with that film. Holy crap. Wow. I didn't even think that sort of thing was coming. I'm blown away by the whole, like, something about bile in there. And that's sort of like being a contributing factor to the discoloration of this puppy. I've never heard of this sort of thing happening, but apparently this is one of those. We're going to go ahead and chalk this up to sort of like an X-Men level of genetic mutations sort of deal, that I guess in this case normalizes itself out over time. But man, I can imagine how freaky that must have come across at first, not really having much of a frame of reference for that. I'm a dog person. Used to be more of a cat person usually, but I do presently have a dog, and so I've found myself warming up more to dogs than I had been previously, because I hadn't had much time around dogs previously. And yeah, I can imagine like this would have freaked me out a little bit too at first, to be brutally honest. But cool. Hopefully, dog grows up to be nice and healthy. So once again, we're doing weird news headlines on tonight's stream. This is live on YouTube, Sunday, March 6, 2022. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you're just joining us, don't forget to drop a like and a comment down below. And we might read it off on the air. Let's see. So next item on the agenda. This is another thing from UPI. Live cow washes up on Australian beach after being carried away by flood. A cow carried away by floodwaters in Australia was found wandering a beach after floating down a river. All right, let's take a closer look at that. This looks like another story that has some sort of a video attached to it. This is, again, from UPI, first published about 5 days ago, it looks like, middle of the day. Let's take a look at the dead link there, unfortunately. All right, looks like sometimes these embedded videos don't work, but all right, I can go ahead and read it off here. The confused cow was spotted wandering Tuesday on Duranba Beach near Coolangatta, Queensland, and Tweed Heads, New South Wales. Apologies if I'm pronouncing any of that wrong. I sense that I am. The cow is believed to have been carried away from its home by floodwaters and washed up in the area after floating more than 3 miles down the Tweed River from a farm in the Terenure area. Police responded to the beach and were keeping crowds a safe distance away from the bovine. Animal rescuers were contacted to help devise a plan to relocate the cow. Heavy rains have caused major flooding this week on Australia's east coast. Man, if you thought climate change was bad before, like imagine all of a sudden like coming up and like, whose cow was this? You know, I can't even imagine like encountering that. Goodness. Floating more than 3 miles downriver from a farm. How did the cow learn how to swim like that? Like that's, I mean, goodness. That's crazy. I wish there was a video attached to this. When we, after the stream, I'll go ahead and post the link. I'll go ahead and post the link in the description to be able to refer back to, for whatever reason, some videos, like I was saying, don't show up in the browser properly when I go ahead and put them in the stream here. But if you're curious to see the actual footage, and there's probably an interview or something attached to this too, check the description down below after the stream, and you can go ahead and check out the rest of the information on this story and other stories that we don't have the video on screen for necessarily, for yourself if you're so inclined. So let's go ahead and move along. We're just rolling right along here tonight, it seems. Here's a good one. Unused ticket to Michael Jordan's debut game sells for $468,000. You know, not surprised. Here we go. So again, this is from a few days ago. Heritage Auctions said the ticket to the October 26, 1984 Chicago Bulls home game against the Washington Bullets sold for $468,000. Mike Cole, the ticket's former owner, said he was gifted two tickets to the game by Jerry Sachs, a Bullets executive and family friend, while he was attending Northwestern University in the 1980s. He said one of the tickets remained intact because he had been unable to find anyone to attend the game with him. Heritage said the ticket is the only known surviving example of an unused ticket from the game, which marked the NBA debut of superstar Michael Jordan. Cole, who does not consider himself a collector, said he was shocked to see how high the auction climbed. He told the Chicago Tribune, quote, "I've never held on to these items thinking one day they're going to be worth a lot of money. I hold on to them because they're memories of good experiences and times spent with family and friends. And as we get older, as is in my case, it's often enjoyable to think of those times from the past," end quote. The sum fetched by the ticket was briefly a new record for the auction of a sports ticket, but it was broken a short time later when a ticket stub from Jackie Robinson's April 15, 1947 Major League Baseball debut game sold for $480,000. Cole went on to say, quote, "We were a record holder for a brief period, but I couldn't be happier because to me, Jackie Robinson was not only an incredibly accomplished athlete, as was Michael Jordan, but also an incredible pioneer. I think it's fitting that Jackie Robinson, whose contribution goes way beyond sports, has the highest valued ticket," end quote. Yeah, if I remember right, I think this was brought up at the tail end of Chadwick's biopic film about Jackie Robinson, 42, in the little like post-credits thing where it goes through all the real people that the movie was following. There's a section in the end where it actually says that Jackie's number when he played for the Dodgers, 42, is the only number that after Jackie retired, they also retired the number. The MLB retired the number 42. And that is also the only number that is permanently retired across all sports, not just baseball. Like every sport doesn't use, every American sport at the very least, I'm pretty sure it's safe to say, does not use the number 42 out of respect to Jackie Robinson. So that's an amazing piece of historical context to add to that little bit of information there. But yeah, that's the ticket apparently, and it sold for $468. It was right up there with the Jackie Robinson ticket. Wow, that's amazing to have survived that long. And they clearly have it sort of sequestered off from the outside world in that little miniature glass case here. Let me try and expand the image here a little bit better quality for y'all at home. 1984 Chicago Bulls season. 639589964. I'm trying to tell where's the information for the seat. Ah, here it is. So row L, seat 3. Here we go. Yeah, October 26, 1984, 7:38 p.m. I wouldn't be born for another 3 years. This ticket is literally older than me. So holy crap. That's the sort of thing that, honestly, my humble opinion, that's the sort of thing that belongs in a museum more than somebody's private collection. But if you're willing to spend, you know, $460,000, I think it was, $468,000 for this, and you have that kind of money and you have that much of a collector for at the very least Jordan memorabilia, if not basketball memorabilia, then I guess more power to you, I suppose, is the correct way, is the correct response to that. One moment, ladies and gentlemen, hang on. All right, so that's the end of this particular piece. And once again, if you're just joining me right now, thanks so much for tuning in. We're about knee deep into this week's live news feed. Don't forget to smash that like and subscribe button down below. And also greetings to those of you who are listening via podcast. This stream is going to be published as an audio podcast tomorrow. So I want to give a quick shout out to those of you who are listening to us on Anchor or iTunes or Spotify and all these other places. We haven't been very active on there in recent months, to be honest. So we're getting back in the swing of things. That's one of lots of different things that we're going to be reintroducing over the course of 2022. And we have an extra guest in the room who's connecting right now. Raina, hey, can you hear me?
Hi, yeah, I can hear you.
Hey, welcome. Sight for sore eyes. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. It feels great out here. We were supposed to have pretty bad weather where I am over the weekend. So just a couple of days ago, it was like rainy and stuff. And today it feels good, like spring, summerish. So It's good. Life is good. Today is good so far.
Cool. I'm glad to hear it. And thank you for making the time to join me today. Really appreciate it.
Definitely.
You only missed the first three topics, but we have plenty more to go. We're still doing weird news right now. You ready to keep going?
I'm ready.
Oh, by the way, don't forget to turn your phone horizontally. Like everything is, it's way too narrow on your end, basically the camera screen. There we go. Oh, that's beautiful. That's perfect. By the way, nice. I see you have your new backdrop for 2022, the yellow backdrop there behind you.
Absolutely. So yes.
Awesome. Looks great. It looks great, Raina. Thanks for, I said it looks great, Raina. Thanks for setting it up.
Thank you.
So, all right, let's go ahead and keep rolling into this. Our next piece is from Yahoo. Two-year-old insists she's, oh my God. Are you seeing this? Two-year-old insists she's her own great-great-grandmother in chill-inducing TikTok. Leave it to TikTok. Yeah, you heard me. The toddler kept... Okay, hold on a second. Let me just open this in a new tab here.
Okay.
Here we go. All right. Oh, good. There's a video attached.
I have something to say about this. Okay, so let me see. Let me hear what this says.
I don't know what this... That looks like an ad of some kind, honestly. Hang on. Here we go. Here it is. So I guess let's start with this. A toddler is creeping TikTok out with her spooky reincarnation claims. And according to parents' comments from around the world, she's not the only child potentially harboring an old soul. That's what this is being referred to as. Two-year-old Ella freaked out her mom when she spotted a photo she'd never seen before, pointed to her own great-great-grandmother and insisted, "That's me." As soon as she heard this, mom at G_G216 grabbed her phone and started filming, and now the goosebump-inducing footage has gained over 1.2 million views on TikTok. We've seen chilling supernatural footage go viral before, like the scared mom who claims her nursery camera captured paranormal activity in her baby's crib. But Ella's reincarnation story is both hair-raising and heartwarming. I see we have the video right here, but before I play this, Raina, what are your immediate thoughts on this?
Anybody who, like, you know, there's some people who do believe that there are in some way their ancestors are like within them, or like they live within. And so it's not creepy to think, but yeah, why not? I mean, why not? Sometimes, especially if the grandmother for whatever reason, looks like the child to her. I've been, you know, I have two kids, but it's a little different. I will say that it's a little different, but I have two kids, and I have shown my daughter a picture of me when I was little, and she said it was herself. But it's because she looks like me when I was a kid. She looks like me.
I was just about to say.
Yeah. My daughter is literally the spitting image of me.
It's like, you better look like me.
Literally, she... But let me see. I want to see this.
All right. Hang on. This is from TikTok.
What are you saying?
Me.
Which one's you?
This grandma and me.
Show mommy which one's you.
This grandma and me.
Yeah.
So for those listening on the podcast version of this episode, she's basically just handling the framed picture. Yeah. The Harry Potter music was a bit much, but I don't know. Uh-oh. Hang on a second. We just had a connection issue with Raina. Hang on. Stand by. I'm going to try to go ahead and like invite her back in here. There might have been a connection issue there. We'll deal with that in a moment. But yeah, like I was saying, just to move this along, and then once Raina rejoins, we'll go ahead and pick up with her reaction to that video. But yeah, the Harry Potter music was a bit much for me. I don't know why that had to be a part of it necessarily. Although then again, this is TikTok, you know, I guess everything has to have some sort of a soundtrack to it. I mean, look who's talking. Like when we did our best of 2021 clips, they all had some sort of soundtrack to it. So there you go. If I remember right, I think they did. But anyway. Yeah, I mean, this is to Raina's point earlier, you know, when you have a family connection, you know, it's implied that there's going to be some semblance of physical visual overlap there. It's pretty much common knowledge. So I wouldn't call this creepy necessarily, but, you know, it's a cute video. That's basically as far as I would go with this personally, to be honest. Let me see if I can figure out what. Oh, here we go. We have a comment here. I believe the kid. When one of my cousins was very little, she used to talk about when she was here before. Yeah, there's something to be said for, like the story I was talking about in the beginning, feeling like you're an old soul, basically, and sort of like you've been here before, or that you have a certain amount of life experience or worldliness that exceeds your years. You know, the Assassin's Creed video games deal with this a little bit, the idea of genetic memory and sort of skills or knowledge or other type of traits that there's no way that you would have been able to cultivate on your own, but they're just sort of passed down through genetic lineage, through personal heritage, you know, and it's always sort of fascinating when that idea gets explored in a science fiction context. And this is, and it's even more fascinating when we see examples of this sort of thing play out in the real world. And so it's, you know, this would be great for Halloween. This was posted about 5 days ago on March 1. Everything happened on March 1 tonight, it seems. These are all really, really recent within the last week or so. So let's go ahead and move on for now. Let me see here. And once we get Raina back in, we'll revisit that. Actually, you know what? Let me just go ahead and put up the tab there from that story and just put that in the background. We'll come back to it once Raina rejoins. I don't know what happened there, but anyway, we'll figure that out. Here's the next topic, just moving things along. This is again from UPI. Armenian man does pull-ups from a flying helicopter for world record. Okay, this is on March 2nd. Wow, that is that looks like something out of one of the Mission Impossible movies, quite frankly. Hey, Raina's just rejoined us. Let me go back over here to this other tab. Hey, uh-oh, hang on. Mic check, can you hear me? Raina?
Yes, I don't know what happened. My connection's being weird, but.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Like, I got hit with a bunch of stuff on Friday stream, and I don't know.
Zoom's I don't know really what just green. Happened. Like, I don't know if it's my internet or what, but my internet was being weird just now. Like, nothing was going on. My phone was saying I had, like, no bars because I am Zooming from my phone. It was saying I have, like, no signal at all. And then it went to, like, 5G and all that weird stuff.
You need to rotate it. You're, like, all 90-degree angle. There we go. And then, like, twist it back. Almost. There you go. There it is. Perfect. Okay. So yeah. Are you on Wi-Fi right now or just off of your phone's bars?
I'm on Wi-Fi right now again. It's back up.
Okay. Okay.
What that just was. It was weird.
Well, hopefully we have a nice stable connection now. Welcome back. I don't know how much of the TikTok video you saw before you cut
out. Of the little girl being her grandma, right?
Yeah. Did you have any closing thoughts on that?
Is with this family is that it was just okay. It could have easily been a little girl saying she was her grandma, or it could be something, you know, it could be something going on. But the issue that I have with this video is the mom putting that music on it, because that was just like putting so much emphasis.
Yeah.
It made it more ridiculous than it needed to be.
I mean, I was just making
looking at the title, Reincarnation is Real. I mean, not saying that it's not, but this little girl did is like, I think, easy to explain. I think the mom is more spooked or freaked out than anything, but I don't really know.
I mean, you called it in the beginning, talking about your own kids, you know, how much your daughter looks like you. I mean,
right.
It's like, I was just saying, like, in the little interim period when you're out of the room, it's like, we all kind of know that's how family lineages work. Like, there's bound to be some sort of overlap. It 100%.
And I think that was just.
Yeah.
The mom put emphasis on something kind of easy to explain.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's go ahead and move on to the next topic. I actually already have queued up here. I was about to talk about an Armenian man does pull-ups from flying helicopter for world record.
Wow. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, this is something I would expect from like a Tom Cruise movie. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, this is one of those.
Is he already a stunt double? Because get him a job.
I would think, here we go. This is on March 2nd. Guinness World Records shared a video showing Romans Saradian, I'm sorry, I'm butchering that name, performing pull-ups from one of the helicopter's skids as it hovers several feet over the ground. I didn't know this was a sort of thing that you could actually set a record for, which sort of is built upon the premise that maybe someone has actually attempted this before, or is this person just the first one to set this record and nobody thought to do this before? Because that's another plausible thing, but let's take a look. Wow. What is that, 7 or 8, 9, 10? 11, just about?
That was 11.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
was 11, I counted.
Okay, yeah. So, man, all right. So I guess those of you watching who have access to a helicopter and this much physical endurance, you got to hit that baker's dozen. You got to hit 12.
You have to meet, you have
the
to beat
actual
his
dozen.
11.
I don't know if baker's dozen. You have to meet 11, right?
Yeah.
It has to be verified.
11.
You have to have a representative from Guinness or Ripley's or whoever, or I guess Guinness, there right. to verify that you've met 11 and then break it. You got to hit 12. before the chopper lands. And then that's kind of how right. that would be.
You know what broken. I think though? I think that I want to know like how the helicopter either helps the pull-ups or doesn't help the pull-ups. Like, is it harder to do pull-ups with a helicopter or easier to do pull-ups with a helicopter? I don't know. I want to know if it like does something for it. Like example, for whatever reason, I can do, if I'm doing pull-ups, right? Or if for whatever reason I'm doing pull-ups, usually I do stuff like that when I go to like a trampoline place that has obstacle courses and things like that. For whatever reason, I'm really good at, you know, when I like turn my, if I have my hands this way, it's harder for me to pull up than it is if I have them this way.
Overhand versus underhand.
Yes.
Overhand is easier.
Right. So I want to know if something about the helicopter makes it harder or easier.
Well, it depends on, I would imagine it would depend on the relationship between the size of the skids, the thickness of the skids versus the size of your hands. You know, if your hands are bigger than this, than the diameter of the skids, then like that's easy to sort of like form a fuller grip. But if the skids are thicker than the extended width of your hands, then yeah, that's going to be, that's going to be really difficult to like maintain a stable enough grip to not want to like, okay, can we land now, please? You know, like that sort
right.
of thing.
So, I don't know. Yeah. Cause I'm like,
your butt fell out.
I'm like, it's a record, but I'm like, okay, like I want to know how this works for him or against him.
Yeah. Let's see. Saradian previously set the Guinness World Record for most consecutive gymnastic high bar giants in 2011 when he completed 1,001 of the spinning maneuvers. What is a high bar giant?
I don't know.
Is that,
let's look
is
it up and see.
Hang on a second.
Let's look it up.
This is the link here. Yeah, this much we know. Here we go. Here's the video. So this is a high bar giant.
Oh, whoa. Oh.
This is not the record to try for anyone who gets dizzy very easily. What's up, everybody? Mike here with
That's
the Guinness World Record Spotlight.
Pretty crazy.
So we clicked the link to another Guinness Records
There's
page in that story.
Of Armenia. He's chalking up and getting ready for his attempt at the most consecutive high bar giants. After getting himself ready, he's off.
I didn't know that's what that was called, when you sort of like use your own momentum to go around and around and around the bar.
High bar giant means completing a full 360 loop on a high bar with a momentary pause for a handstand at the top. It's very slight,
really?
But Roman does manage to slow his momentum ever so briefly at the top of each rotation. So how long did he spin like that for? A couple minutes? Try 28. We'll speed up some of these parts for you, but Roman
28 of those, I'd be sick.
1,001 non-stop high bar giants. Spinning around like that for a half hour, enough to drive a man to the medicine cabinet. And after that final giant was complete, it was time for a well-deserved round of applause for Roman.
Wow.
And an even more well-deserved place to lie down. 1,001 spins nonstop.
I feel like I'd be sick for days.
We'll see you next time.
Exactly. Like if the room, like the first reaction is like, oh my god, the room is spinning. And then like that's all your reaction for like you were saying, literally days afterwards. Like how do you even how do you function?
If I didn't pass out.
Exactly. Like I can't even imagine doing that. I can't even imagine doing go ahead.
With vertigo and stuff, I can barely walk. On normal, I get dizzy on my own.
Wow.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah, no, props to this guy for making that work. Like, that's how you, like, raise the bar. Thank you. Thank you. Over here a week. No. Sorry, dad jokes. Yeah, you know why you came here. Anyway, let's move on. Let's see. Next item on the agenda once this page finishes loading up here. Let's see. Once again, thanks to you so much for you at home let me start over. Thank you so much at home for watching along with us, especially those of you who are live. Don't forget to drop a like and a comment down below. We might read it off on the air. And subscribe if you haven't already. And once again, hello to those of you who are listening via the audio podcast version. You know, Reyna, we're going to be posting an audio podcast content again now, starting with this episode. We're going to be dropping it tomorrow. So that's something to look forward to as well.
It's funny because I'm like getting back into podcasts again. I stopped for a while and now I am back into some pretty good podcasts at the moment, and going to be a part of some new ones coming out too. So
care to name drop any of them?
Or where is that? Name drop? Not yet. But the topic is mainly surrounding just like open dialogue between men and women, and like almost not battle of the sexes, but like just like how we see things, different perspectives, same perspective type of thing. Men and women, relationship, life, growth as adults. And yeah, it's gonna be pretty awesome. Can't wait. I'll name drop next time.
Nice. All right, hold you to that.
Cool. Like almost, oh, that's what I meant, like women are from Venus, men are from Mars type of situation.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot to this. There's a lot to unpack there, and a lot of different contexts with which that conversation can be done. But how's that going to work as far as like y'all have like a mailbag, that sort of thing? Like, do you take like visitor viewer comments and that sort of thing, or do y'all like sort of have the topics sort of prearranged?
Not yet. Some of them seem, there's some things that seem like they're going to be prearranged, because we're all individually people who basically talk about things like this on our own, and then we're like, we need to get these conversations together, and like so it's going to be that some of them will be prearranged. One of the men that I'm working with, he has these topics already. He has this really cool TikTok, and it's called Things Women Want to Know, and and it's pretty cool in like a male's perspective. So yeah.
So I guess, are you one of the women that sort of consults him on like what kind of topics to bring up there? Is that?
No, he does it all himself. It's so funny.
He just nails it then. He's sort of like, he doesn't need any consulting on that. He just nails it.
So far, yes. That's what it's like. But I can't wait to work with him. And like I said, I'll keep you guys updated on that, because it's going to be awesome. Some of the topics are super cool. It's super cool. Just a lot of, you know, because we're all so different as far as like being like men and women, even though we have our similarities, personality wise, there are some things that are like deep rooted and completely different. And so enough about that, but I can't wait. It'll be cool. It'll be fun.
All right. Looking forward to it. By the way, we have a comment. Cute cat. You want to introduce us to your pet there?
Yes, this is my cat, Jazzy. She loves to be on camera. She adores
right
it.
Now.
Right. She just popped down as soon as I said that. She says, don't tell on me. But whenever I'm filming, that's like her favorite time to like get in the camera. She's the star of many shows in this house.
Well, how's that work? There can be only room for one camera hog around these parts. Like Highlander, shing, there can be only one.
She's like me. It's me and her. Butt heads a lot. It's me and her. Every time I'm like, get out of the camera. Especially if I put my backdrop up, that's when it's really ridiculous. Cause she likes to, the backdrop drives her crazy. And I usually have to like put her away so she doesn't go complete Super Saiyan on it. Like, I don't know.
Oh, ouch. does she still have her claws?
She does. I used to get her like acrylic, like I used to get the things that just made them softer, because I don't believe in declawing cats. But now they are kind of sharp, but she's still such a little girl that it doesn't hurt bad. Like it really doesn't. And she doesn't really, she doesn't scratch things to the point of like wrecking them. Thank goodness. Because I've seen some cats do that. She doesn't do that.
Because I was about to like
baby claws or what?
I was wondering, like, just for the safety and integrity of your backdrop, because like those are just asking to get shredded.
She doesn't do that. She usually like hides under it. And like sometimes, like if I move or she sees a shadow, that's mm-hmm. when she'll start freaking out.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Okay.
But well, so anyway. Far, she hasn't done anything to it. She usually likes to hide under it. But as soon as she sees like a shadow or something moving in front of it, that's usually when she like goes
that's the all clear. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully she'll be
and
able
thank
to.
Thank you for the comment. She's a sweet girl.
Yeah. That was Brain Spaz. Somebody named Brain Spaz in the comment feed. So awesome. Okay. So hopefully Jasmine will be able to. I'm sorry. Was it Jazz or Jasmine?
Jazzy.
Jazzy, wow! I there's option C there. I totally forgot that. Well, hopefully Jazzy will be able to like contain herself a little bit longer. We have a few more topics to get through before the end of this particular stream here. So let's go ahead and move along. This is from The Mirror, which is a UK publication. I let my man know I knew he was cheating in the best way. He puked and cried. Okay.
What did she do? I need to know this. I need to know.
Inquiring minds. So if you've ever been cheated on, you'll know there's a million different thoughts and emotions that go through your head. Meanwhile, if you're fortunate enough to have never been in that situation, there's a good chance you'll have thought about how you'd react if it ever happened to you. Mm-hmm. Let's just stop there. Randall, what would you do if you were cheated on?
Well... I like to do things like this because it's happened to me before. My favorite thing to do when I'm being cheated on is like let them lie a little longer, and like usually like I'll already know long before I tell you I know, you know what I'm saying? And so then I just let it simmer for a little bit, and then I let them, you know, just lie and lie for like a couple more days maybe. And then because usually I already made up my mind like what I have to say, what I'm going to do next, and how it's going to go, so I deal with it internally, and then I just wait, and I just, like I said, I just wait to drop the bomb. And it's so funny, the best way though is like right when like they're still like lying, and they're like, oh, you know, been thinking about you so much, I miss you so much, blah, 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 and all this stuff. And I'm like, you're totally cheating. Those are the best times to like drop the bomb. Like, yeah, were you thinking about me or Sarah? And it's always something like that. And it's like, and it'll be the exact name. And they're just like, wow, it's crazy. How'd you know that? So yes, that's what I do. I like to do things like that. But, and then I just leave. I mean, I'll just leave. Know. I'm not a crier. I'm not a like, oh, you cheated on me.
I didn't know that had happened to you beforehand. I'm sorry to hear that. I thought that was just like a thing, just a thought experiment, but.
Don't be sorry. It's okay. It's honestly, it's one of those things where it's like people that feel the need to cheat have like character flaws. Like there's something going on internally and there's no excuse for it, but internally, there are things going on within them that have nothing to do with you. And they will say it has something to do with you. Like usually it's your fault. Cheaters always blame the person that they're cheating on for cheating.
Reflection.
Yeah. When in reality, it's like, you could have left if you felt that way, but it's happened to me before. But like I said, I do exactly what I just said. I am the type of person, I'm very mild mannered. I will process whatever I need to process. A conversation will be had. But I'm very much so, if you feel the need to cheat, then by all means, like go to wherever you've been at, because, you know, if you're a cheater, you're a liar. Not,
yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a slippery slope from there into all sorts of other ugly stuff. That's
and
gonna
it,
come
and
out
it'll
later.
Keep, it'll keep happening. Most people that cheat, it only gets easier for them to cheat once you forgive it the first time. And women do it all the time. Women go back, men go back, whatever the case, people will do it, they go back. And that doesn't make you an idiot or a bad person. It just makes you somebody that wants to give it another chance and see if maybe whatever thought you've had about this person in your head is somewhat true. Whatever fantasy you have about this person in your head, they're a good person. You've had great times together. You love them, whatever the case. So you give it a second chance. That is completely understandable. But I'm not a fighter, crier, screamer about cheating. I'm a person that will have a conversation about it. I am a, okay, well, you felt this way. You did what you did. And now I feel this way. And now we'll part our ways. Mm-hmm.
And then just box it up and put it away. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's certainly a healthier way to do it. That doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. Yeah, no, I was just going to say that.
Or I don't, you know, some people think that, you know, it's cold or whatever the case or whatever. It doesn't, or it's like emotionless. It doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. It's just I pick and choose the type of things that I'm going to put my energy into.
Right.
And I'm very much so a work on you type of person. As soon as you cheat on me, I'm like, you have some things you need to work through, and it doesn't have anything to do with me, or I may not be a part of that journey. So you go work on what you need to work on. And so, yeah, I am, but I've dreamt of being the type of person. Like I hope it doesn't happen to me, mm-hmm. but.
And then after this, we got to go back into this topic, but yeah.
Yeah. I would love to like meet the girl and then like bring the girl with me somewhere. And then he like shows up and we're both there and I'm like, oh, surprise. Look who it is.
So
I've always like wanted to do something that dramatic. Like, will, hey,
but just to sort of see how he, just to see how he reacts to that.
Like, hey, this is his actual girlfriend. I just wanted to talk to you and this and that and the third and blah, blah, blah. And whatever conversation is had is had. And then we decide to like meet him at the same place. And so like I text him and I'm like, hey, like, babe, let's go to dinner tonight. And then he shows up and it's both of us.
So insidious. It's so insidious.
Now that is dramatic. And like.
It is. Yes, in fact, this story actually kind of alludes to that a little bit. It goes on to say some people, again, this is the Mirror, which is a UK-based publication. We're talking about dropping the news that you know that the person is cheating on you. The story says some people react immediately, while others coolly and calmly plot their revenge. Like one girl who decided to sit back and wait for the perfect moment to drop the truth bomb.
Exactly that. Yes.
There you go. TikToker Natalie decided to lure her ex in by starting a conversation about their non-existent future and what it might look like if they started a family, more specifically, what they would name their children. Here's some screen grabs from it. When I found out my ex cheated, so I started a convo about us having a family one day and suggested the girl's name as a baby name. Ooh.
Yeah! Yes!
When,
I love that!
When I found out my ex cheated, so I... Oh, no, never mind. Here it is. When I found out my ex cheated, so I started a conversation. Da, 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 da. In the comments section, Nat added, he was like, yeah. And then I said, I'd suggest a middle name too, but you probably know her better, right? He just cried and fake puked in the bathroom.
I mean, wow. It's almost pretty good, but I mean, probably would have done something different.
Well, I mean, The story goes on to say, now that is what you call a mic drop moment right there. And it turns out she's not the only one who's used that little trick. But then the story kind of ends. Oh, wait, here we go. Another TikTok user commented, wow, I also did this. He said, where did you learn that name? And I said, I had a dream about it. He got paranoid.
Yes, I love doing stuff like that. Like, yeah, like, don't tell them, you know, and like a crazy, I don't know. I just, and I don't know what this is or why like some women do this, but it is pretty, it's funny. It is kind of funny because like when you're lying and cheating and like, you know, already, like when we find out and they don't think we know, it's like the best thing. It's so ridiculous what happens after that. Cause like, then you start seeing like all of the lying and all of the ridiculousness or the paranoia that they get, or it's just funny. It's freaking hilarious.
But Raina, wouldn't it be a more productive usage of not only your time, but indirectly also theirs, to like just cut it off and leave, you know? No. Like, so it's just like
you have to you have to go out with a bang. No.
You really don't, though. You really don't, though. I mean, full disclosure, I've never been cheated on, fortunately, knock on wood. But it's like, I can't imagine, you know, like if I'm on the receiving end of that, I can't imagine, you know, being in a position to where like concocting some sort of either some sort of trap of some kind or like some sort of emotional manipulation type of thing.
I wouldn't say trap. For me, it's just more of the like, you are seriously lying. Like you are seriously sitting here lying to me. Like I think that's what it is for me. It's just it's like already a big eye opener, but then just the moment, cause I don't let it linger for too long, but then just the moment of the, like, you are seriously, and this has literally happened to me. It has happened to me. And the way I went about it that time is, and I think it scares men more when you're calm too. But I do that too. But
those are facts.
It does. And so I, you know, for me, it's just the whole, yeah, it's already an eye opener. And then I'm just like, let me just see how much longer they're going to lie. Or like, I just want to know. I know it's weird. Cause typically, yeah, you would think like, oh, just walk away. Just talk about it and walk away. But, I walk away from people that like I've had mutual relationship, like where we're parting and it's like, oh, you know, that's when we walk away from something. But when you have been lying to me and cheating and all of those things, and I kind of already knew it, but then like, I find out concrete evidence, it could either go one of two ways. I'm either going to just leave and not say anything and completely ghost, and then when you want to know what's going on, the answer is, you know why. And that's it. And I'm just like, you know why. If anybody knows what movie that's from. But
well, so I, much for due process, so much for having the conversation and sort of hashing it out. What if your instincts,
the cheateration it depends on how it is. But to anybody who's watching, I don't know, how do you guys handle that type of situation? Are you the walk away type? Are you the address it and walk away type? And then when you address it, or how long does it take for you to address it? I want to know from the viewers in the comments, how long does it take for you to address a cheater?
Go ahead. I was going to say, like, that sounds like the sort of thing that we should definitely like pull out and make a poll about in like our Instagram story or something later. Like, that's
how do you guys, we're not, go about it?
A response thing, a response question in like the IG story on at Weekend Showcase. If you haven't followed us already, what's wrong with you? You should follow us. Exactly. Let's see. All right, here we go. Next topic. I think we have time for like two more and then we got to go ahead and shut this down.
Okay.
When this thing, here we go. Da, 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 da. Come on.
So Jazzy's just laying on my lap, like really comfortable right now.
Huh?
So Jazzy's just laying on my lap right now. She's like super comfy.
Yeah, I was about to ask. I know she's nearby. Okay. We have a comment sort of reacting to your question actually. It says address quickly and walk away. With 3 exclamation points. So there's one answer right there.
I like that. Get out of there.
Yeah.
Get out and quick.
So here's, oh goodness. All right. This is another thing
about my personality type though. Cause I know a lot of women that are like this. Like I'm not the type to like, I'm never fighting over a man. I'm never keying anything. I'm never going like that psychotic, but I'm such a, like I said, I'm the type that's like, I just want to see how long you're going to lie about it. Or like, I just want to see. And then I want to see like them get paranoid. What does that say about me? Don't comment about that in the box. don't analyze me.
Well, moving on. This is again from the Mirror. The headline is, I got kicked out of my Airbnb for being too hot. I'm being persecuted.
What?
It seems like a it seems like a an inappropriately positioned threshold for the term persecuted, but okay. Playboy model Susie Cortez claims her holiday rental host kicked her out and threw her luggage in the bin, and she's convinced it's all down to her good looks. Let me try to expand this. Here we go. Susie Cortez, 31, from Brazil, had booked the house for a few nights in January of this year, but after she met her host, Susie claims he kicked her out and threw her luggage in the bin. Susie said she booked the property while she was visiting family in the city, while she was having work done on her own flat, but now she feels she's been the victim of persecution and discriminated against because she's attractive. According to the model, her host complained about the clothes she was wearing, pointing in particular to a pair of her workout leggings before he canceled her booking. Okay, I guess this is the photo on the left there. Those are the workout leggings, I guess. After kicking her out.
He said, absolutely not. You won't come here like that.
After kicking her out, Susie claims the host accused her of breaking into the home before throwing out her belongings. She says things got so heated, she was forced to call the police. Susie said, quote, I was startled when the host entered the property I was in and took my belongings and threw them in the trash. He only came in because I suffer persecution for being too pretty. Okay, like, can we stop reiterating that? we're seeing some like, I'm seeing some like rolling on the floor laughing emojis in the comment feed. Raina, I know you got something on this.
Let me tell you something. It sounds like very like underlying issues. It sounds like there was something else going on. And she's like, I know why you don't want me here, because I'm hot, huh? You don't want me here because I'm hot. She's one of those girls. That's why you don't want me here. And she's like,
yeah.
You don't want me here because I'm hot. And it said said she stole like, something, right?
Mm-hmm.
They said she stole something.
Let me go down the thing again. Let me see. I was startled when the host entered the property I was in and took my belongings and threw them in the trash. The host threw her belongings in the trash.
Oh, I thought that she took something else, but there's no way. They did not kick her out of there for being too hot. There is something else. And she's one of those people. She can be at a restaurant and they kick her out for something. And she'll say, I know why you guys don't want me here, because I'm too hot. I'm too hot to be here. You guys, that's why. That's what it is.
Yeah, there's it's always interesting when, you know, you see examples of I guess what can be where is the line? This actually gets at a larger sort of cultural and societal question. Where is the line between confidence and arrogance? You know, like, it's important to have confidence in yourself. It's important to have a strong sense of self-image and self-esteem. But when it sort of bleeds over into ego, when it bleeds over into vanity, and then how that sort of infects your interactions with other people. I mean, Raina, what are your thoughts on that?
There is. You're 100% right about that. You can have confidence. There is a fine line between like having self-confidence, having what was I gonna say? There's another word that I was going to use, but
like full of yourself, that sort of thing.
Yeah, because you can be confident, you can think highly of yourself, but also still be humble. Mm-hmm. And then there is the operating completely from ego. And that's when things get dangerous, because it really clouds your judgment a lot of times, when in reality, sometimes genuinely, nothing has to, and there's books that I read on this. A lot of times, like you can think that you're a beautiful person. You can think you're a great person, and that is fine. You should have that type of confidence, but not everybody around you sees you from your perspective. Yeah. Not everybody around you finds you to be hot. Not everybody around you thinks, and I will say that to anybody. I always tell people that, like, in other conversations that I've had, I always say, I'm not for everybody. I'm not everybody's cup of tea. Somebody probably thinks I'm ugly. and that's okay. Because you're not for everybody. But I think it's like danger zone when you get into everybody wants me. Everybody thinks I'm hot. Everybody is treating me this way because I'm a hot person. And whatever the case, that those are usually that those sound like people that are like not willing to like see themselves. And it's weird. It gets weird after that.
Yeah, I mean,
not everybody wants you, hon. Not everybody thinks you're hot. Not everybody thinks you're hot.
But that's like, that can never really be said, unfortunately, you know, to somebody, like, because that's, especially these days, that's the sort of thing that can be taken very confrontationally. You know, it goes past the point of
all
sort of coming for somebody's feelings.
All of a sudden, you're body shaming. All of a right. sudden, you're being discriminating. All of a sudden, you're
that's
discriminating.
What it is.
All of a sudden, you're, it gets, there's like it gets blurry after that.
So where does the blur sort of start? Like, what do you think is the right way to call somebody out on their vanity when you know that's what it is? And like, there's the elephant in the room, but you don't want to cross that line into blurry territory where that can sort of backfire. Like, how do you sort of calculate where that is, at least for the person you're talking to?
I mean, those are people that you have to like indirectly speak to. Like, you have to like, usually, I mean, that's a whole nother thing, but those are people that you have to like, you don't say anything really. Like, don't even give it the energy. Like, just don't say anything. People that are like that, you have to, are almost darn near delusional.
Like, so you don't even give it the oxygen. You just sort of like recognize what it is and you keep it pushing. You don't even try.
People like that are like delusional. And no matter what you say, no matter what you say or how you react, it's just gonna go left. Sometimes, if that's even the case. But usually it's that, like, those type of people, you have to just not even acknowledge them, because it's just like, I'm literally talking to I don't even know what to call it.
I see a comment in here. Not everybody wants you, hun. Right. Rolling on the floor laughing emoji.
Exactly. They don't. Like, some people have to realize that, like, you're not everyone's cup of tea. Like, you're not for everybody, and everybody doesn't find you to be hot. Everyone doesn't find you to be intelligent. Everyone doesn't find you to be cool. And the people that do, great. If you do, great. But you cannot project that onto like other people all the time. Like, you treat me this way because you think I'm hot.
Or just because I'm hot, you do. So you don't. Yeah. Just because you do and someone else might doesn't mean everyone should.
100%.
I think that's the bottom line.
And people like that are like, typically, like I said, it comes with like this wacky delusion sometimes. That's like, you just don't even give it the time of day. It's like, okay. Like, those are the type of people you just say okay to and let them freak out on their own.
Pretty much. All right, let's go ahead and wrap this up. Last one for the night. This is again from the Mirror. A tattoo artist blasted online for making grammatical error in woman's first ink. Ooh, if somebody screws up your tattoo, oh no, say it is
on you for life. That's why I hate that wording when people, okay. That is, you have to like literally be so
oh, you can see it right there. And in time, this too, T-O, too shall pass. Oh no. It's supposed to be T-O-O, but the artist put T-O, this direction too shall pass. Oh my goodness. That's,
I'm looking
that
at
is
this
for life.
Too.
Said. Wow.
That's on you for life. Then you have to get somebody to cover it up or just add an extra O, but then it's all going to run into each other.
So, and then the article says too, T-O, which the artist mistakenly wrote is a preposition that can be used in a variety of ways. So the blah, blah, we know that. Okay. Yeah, it's just the rest of the story seems to be explaining the basic grammar rules, which we all kind of like understand. The difference between T-O and T-O-O. And oh boy. Yep. That's the ink being done. More pictures on here. Users in the comments quickly reacted to the tattoo nightmare, with one commenting, I would simply be upset, and another replying with a tongue-in-cheek, I would be too, T-O, ha 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 ha. another user added, I'm trying to resist the urge to chase this person down with my blue pencil and make editorial corrections.
Listen, that's on you for life, people. I have one tattoo and there's no words. And
can you share what it is?
Yes, it is a sugar skull for Dia de los Muertos. And it has all of the things that I am into at the time. Like it's a Dia de los Muertos skull. And in the skull are like music notes, flowers, stars, shooting stars, all of the things that about the time that I got it, I was 22, are into. A lot of it I'm still very much so into. And I don't like, I was young and having fun and I got it. I don't like where I got the tattoo. And it's so big. It's like my first tattoo was
Wait. Do you mean the location? Do you mean like the artist that you saw to get it? Or do you mean where you chose at the time to have it placed on you?
Well, I have it on my side. It's on my side because at the time I was like, I'm going to get my whole side done. I got my tattoo when I was 22 and now I'm in my mid 30s and I still have yet to get my whole side done. But I wish I thought it through a little bit more, but I have no words in it. Tons of color. I do like the color, but, tattoos, you have to really, really, really like, I'm like terrified. I've been to several tattoo shops and I still haven't picked someone that I like trust to do my tattoos because it's such a big deal. Like these are like, they're like ripping your flesh. Like that's what's going on with your tattoo when you're getting a tattoo. And so it's like, you have to be super duper careful with how you're getting it done. And I mean, trust the person. That's what I don't understand. I know a lot of people who used to go to tattoo parties and everybody would be getting tattoos and stuff. Excuse me. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm so picky about who's going to do my next work because of that type of stuff right there. And I know people who have gotten tattoos done recently and it just, there's been things like that have happened. Misspelled words. It's no joke.
Because like you were saying, like this is something that's going to be with you for life. You have to take that seriously. You have to take into account not just what you're getting or where you're getting it placed on you, but
and you'll never forget that. Like tattoos are something like those are memories, those are moments, those are like it's even deeper than just getting the tattoo itself from the memory that it's crazy because you'll go to get a tattoo. And some of it is like in remembrance of something or you're thinking of or you want to put something on you that represents something that you love, whatever. Right. So you're already doing that. But then you have the moment that you got the tattoo that you're going to remember forever, too. So I will never forget the day I got my tattoo. The one that I have, I will never forget that day. And I know why I got it. I got the tattoo because if to the viewers, to anybody who knows this, the meaning behind Dia de los Muertos, it is literally the celebration of life. Like you mourn people's passing, but you also celebrate their life year after year. You celebrate your ancestors. And so I got it because at the time when I was 22, I was like, listen, if my life is going to be long or short, I want the people that love me to celebrate me. Of course, have your tears, whatever the case, but celebrate me forever. Like I, and all the things that I love, the music that I love, and I love music. You know, whether it be my style or my ability to laugh or make other people laugh, just celebrate me. So that is why I got it, for just the things that I love and for the people that love me to celebrate me and all the things that I love when my time is up here. But, it's like that. So when you remember, and I'll never forget when I got it too, like it's just a whole thing tattoo. So for somebody to mess up someone's tattoo.
Yeah. I remember, first of all, let me start here. I have zero tattoos or piercings, should be painfully obvious, just some personality type. I don't come across the kind of person who get ink done and stuff like that. I'm just speaking about myself here, but like, I can't imagine, I can't imagine letting something like this fly, you know, just in terms
I'd be
of like,
livid. I would cry and fight. I'm kidding.
But I'm not a fighter. Hey, but you've been branded for life basically with the wrong stuff. Like imagine getting a tattoo that's incorrectly done, but in another language, you know, where like it's supposed to be like I don't know, some sort of like special symbols that means generous, kind soul, but then it actually says like entrance in rear or something like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like,
yeah. Honestly, that's a big deal. I'd be so upset because tattoos, and that's another thing. Tattoos hurt. They hurt in some places more than others. And so then you have to now get a cover up or get more added after you already sat there and you were hurting for all that time.
Mm.
I remember for when nothing. I got mine. It hurt so bad. Mine was so close to my spine.
The slightest, and the artist has to be so careful with that thing. The slightest slip up, you're paralyzed. That's your spinal cord. That's you know.
I mean, not my spine.
Depending on where it is.
Yeah, it is closer to my spine, and like once it goes up, like not too far from my ribs too, and it's just like that whole section hurts so bad. Once it got to the color, it didn't hurt as bad because it was kind of numb. It was kind of already like, oh, okay.
I bet. Before we shut this down, I wanted to go ahead and circle back to something that you had brought up about Dia de los Muertos, like because I'm kind of coming from kind of a layperson's perspective, where basically all I kind of have as in terms of an understanding of what that festival is and how it works from a cultural standpoint, all I basically have from that is that Pixar film Coco and the opening sequence from Spectre. What are your thoughts on Hollywood's representation of that facet of the culture?
It's interesting because at the Hollywood Cemetery every year, they do a celebration on the cemetery for Dia de los Muertos, and like a lot of people go. I remember I used to go when I was younger. I was such a rebel, but and it's like it's a beautiful night, but it's also like, okay, Dia de los Muertos is so much more than Hollywood could ever make it. Like sometimes people have a way of like making things, I don't really know the word for it, but there's more, it's so much more meaningful than Hollywood could ever make it seem.
Oh. Oversimplified, too boiled down.
Yeah, it's so much more meaningful. Like this is something that you, with your family, culturally, like this is celebrating your ancestors. If you have children, and there's tons of children, every family has children, teaching your children about those who paved the way in your family. Those who they may have gotten, you know, certain traits from, and beautiful things. It's so much deeper than that. I think Coco was good. I think they did a pretty good job at, especially for kids, in the way that they did. I think they did it beautifully. There's some scenes in there that like were amazing to me and made me want to cry, but just the celebration of life that there is to that. It's there's so much more of a deeper and more, also like in a respect, in a sense of like respect and like paying homage and respect and celebration of life. And it's just so much more deeper than, you know, that. Like, I guess it was a cute movie for kids for sure. I didn't mind my kids seeing it because I do believe in it. And I was raised on it, and so it's for me with my kids, it was fine for them. And I was like, I didn't mind it. Cause I know, also being an educator, I'll tell you this. I know people who did not want their kids, whose kids were not allowed to watch Coco.
Why not?
From what I know, some families feel it's religious. Some families feel it's just the background on it is weird for some people. The understanding of it, some people don't have an understanding of it. That's all. And so some people, like we had to have them sign permission slips to be able to watch Coco at school. The death aspect too. It's, you know, it has to do with life and death, and that some people don't want their kids like exposed,
you know, to the imagery that can be associated with death. What yes. So they're afraid it'll be like nightmare fodder for the kids. It's a Pixar film. Like, right. You may as well you have them not what, watch though? Soul like either. Year?
Oh, I didn't realize how bad it was though. I let my kids watch, and I'm a huge Tim Burton fan. Huge, huge, huge. And I let my kids watch Beetlejuice
for the first time this year.
And I did not know some of the stuff on there was like, I was allowed to watch this? Like,
so
my mom let me watch this?
So I wouldn't have told you to, I would have recommended like showing them the cartoon before any coming anywhere near the movie. Do you remember there was an animated series?
And we were already too deep into the movie. And I was like, you guys want to turn it? I was like, is it scary? And they're like, no, they weren't scared. Beetlejuice was a bit of a huge perv. Beetlejuice was such a pervert. And I like,
yeah. And they turned down a lot of that with the cartoon for obvious reasons, right. And it's like.
I think Beetlejuice is so funny though. Even we watched it and there were certain things like I allowed the kids to see the funny parts of it. Anything that was a little weird, like I just, you know, I am very open with my kids, but in the sense of like, I explain to them, never repeat that, never behave like that, never. And like, I'm pretty on top of not showing them things like that. But then there's times where I'm like, oh my gosh, I watched this as a kid. They can watch it. They cannot. There's like so many things that I watched as a kid. And I was like, there's nothing wrong with this. And
nothing wrong with supernaturally possessing a banister, exorcising a couple ghosts out of nowhere, creeping out the current owners of the house, then basically forcing an underage girl to marry you. Like that's sure.
I know. And so it's that, and the fact that they were dead and they came back. And so that is one of the issues that a lot of the parents have with Coco, I know at my school, because, you know, he was talking to basically ghosts and his ancestors and all these things. And a lot of parents are like, that's just way too deep for my kids and I'm out of here. And no, they can't watch it. So like my kids were watching Matilda. I let them watch Matilda. And for whatever reason, they want to repeat, well, your mom is a little twit, how Professor Trunchbull called Matilda's mom, or called one of the girls' moms, a twit.
A twit?
That's
still a thing?
Right. It was in Matilda, though, the movie, the old movie that we watched.
Right.
And the kids have now been saying that. My son's been saying that. And I'm like, why out of all things in the movie you have to repeat that?
Mara Wilson, was that the girl's name?
I don't remember.
I think that was the actress who was the little girl in the movie. I remember Danny DeVito was in that. That's all I remember for sure from that movie. But I think,
right.
Because it was the same girl who was in the Miracle on 34th Street remake. Like that was right around that same time. I think it was Mara Wilson. Somebody like, you know, correct me if I'm wrong on that on the comments after the fact, but I'm pretty sure that's correct. I'm pretty sure I remembered that right.
Right.
But I don't remember who was like, you know, Trunchbull of them.
It's stuff like that that like parents are like, oh I can't. So as far as like as far as that is concerned, there's just so much more of a deeper, more meaningful meaning to Dia de los Muertos. And you know, some people like still see it as like a, like I said, Hollywood Museum, it's not a museum. The Hollywood Cemetery does a big thing around it every year. And it's kind of, what do you call that? It's not appropriated, is it? Is that the word for it?
Like when it's
culturally appropriate?
Yeah. When it sort of like co-ops elements of the culture that it's not ordinarily like a part of, just for like some sort of symbolic gesture or something, when it's not actually being interpreted that way by the indigenous people, who that's their culture. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's just so much.
Or not indigenous people, excuse me. The people who it's their culture.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Yes. So
you gotta be very careful how you face that. Sorry.
Right. So that is that's the issue with Hollywood and stuff like that. But other than that, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's really it. So like when you like really look and just the whole, like I said, not everybody's into it, but the meaning behind it and stuff and celebrating your loved ones that have passed and all this stuff. And yeah.
Right. Right. Okay.
That's why.
So this, we went way over, but this was a fascinating conversation, especially like as we were sort of like winding down here. We got to shut this down. Thank you guys so much for tuning in with the video feed live. And those of you who are watching the on-demand replay, thank you as well. Don't forget to smash that like button and subscribe if you have not already. Hit us up on social media. We're basically everywhere at Weekend Showcase, including on Apple and Spotify and Podbean and all these other like podcasts. We're putting out the audio version of this on that platform tomorrow. So that's really exciting. And I think that's basically, oh, and by the way, our colleague Alonzo has finished a reaction / review for the new Batman movie that dropped over the weekend. I don't know if that that's something that y'all have seen yet. Raina, have you seen that film yet?
Not yet.
Is that on the menu or are we waiting for our HBO Max?
You know, I mean, I have HBO Max. I might wait for it since it's coming. Mm.
Okay, well, Alonzo's already seen it and he's already made a review for us. So we'll be sure to post that a little bit later tonight or tomorrow morning with the podcast feed at the absolute latest. But from what I'm hearing, it's really good. And I'm not going to spoil his reaction to that. I'll let you guys check it out for yourselves. But this might be a big one. Anyway, that's about it. Once again, thank you all for tuning in. This has been Showcase for the week ending Sunday, March 6, 2022. And have a great rest of your week. We'll see you with more trailer reactions this coming Friday and then more weird news headlines next week. And don't forget, you can also send us some suggestions for weird news topics to discuss if you send it to us on social media or drop a comment below. And we might add that to the list next time. So have a great night. We'll see you next time.
Bye. Ouch.
Oh, careful.
She scratched me.